Welcome to the Hilltop United Methodist Church podcast. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.
Today's scripture reading comes from the New Testament, comes from John 4, verses 1 through 6. If you wish to follow along, you can find it on page 240 to 241 in the Pew Bible in front of you. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming. And now it is already in the world. Little children, you are from God, and you have conquered them. For the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore what they say is from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us, and whoever is not from God does not listen to us. From this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
2013, I'd been here about a year, and my car needed a little bit of work. My Subaru needed a little bit of work. And in Colorado Springs, I'd always taken my car to a Subaru dealer. And I had a friend, she was here at the 9 o'clock service, Peggy Schultz, said, I've got just the person to take care of your car for you. And so we took the car over, and he calls up on the phone and says, your car needs a new battery. Your car needs a new battery. And I said, well, go ahead and fix that battery. It's okay, go ahead and fix it. And so I get over to pick up my car about 5 minutes to five. The shop closes at 5 o'clock. The technician comes out and says, I replaced the battery, but I don't have any idea what's wrong with it. It's running really rough right now. It is really running rough right now. So I hopped in the car, paid for the battery, hopped in the car, and drove. And every stop sign I came to, the car chugged to a halt. It just stopped running on me. Had to restart it. And he said, come back on Monday morning. That's what he told me to do. So I listened to him, and I thought, okay, well, we'll see what's going on. Marilyn had something to do the next day. I had to get up to Ogden to hear the gospel choir sing. I wasn't in the gospel choir that year. And I went up to hear them sing, and my car was running anyway. It was at least operating, so I could at least get up to Ogden. So I got in the car and drove up to Ogden, but it was really rough before I got onto I-15. But by the time I got to Ogden, the car had smoothed out. The car had smoothed out. Everything about the car was wonderful. It was operating like it was supposed to. What it finally dawned on me was that when he took the car out, and he took the battery out of the car and removed the system, the ignition system and all that stuff from the power source, it went back to its default settings. I checked back with the Subaru dealer later, and they said, that's exactly what had happened. It had gone to its natural default settings of sea level. And we're not at sea level. We're at 4,500 feet. And so the car needs a little bit level of mixture of gasoline and air to make that car work. But the default settings for sea level didn't work. It took, for 30 minutes or so of running for that car to be able to be returned back to what it really needed to be. The car had been removed from its power source. The default setting that emerged did not work in that world. Now, each of us have inside of us default settings. We have default settings that can get activated based upon things that go on. One is the negative side. The default settings that are the world's default settings. We get removed from that power source, and what do? We return to the values of the world. We turn to the values of the world, and it goes back to where we were and where it was started, and that's the options that are presented to us. Or weekend, as I walked around and I presented the new baby today for baptism, you can recognize that there's a piece of God inside of you that is also there, that is also part of your natural default settings. The question that you must ask is, which one are you going to respond to? And it's natural. It is extremely natural. It's part of the basic human condition to focus on yourself. If you think about it, everything that you see, everything that you smell, everything that you touch, everything that you experience is through your reality. Everything about it, you are the center of your universe. You are, in your own world, the center of everything that you experience. In Genesis 3, we're told that one of the first questions that God would ask, maybe even the first question that God would ask to the community, he would say, "Where are you?" And that the rest of the Bible is a commentary making some attempt to answer that question, "Where are we?" And what is the problem of what went on there in Genesis 3? They decided they wanted to be the center of the universe. They were going to be like God. And that's just a natural default setting for each and every one of us. And just like my Subaru, when we remove from our power sources, we default back to the defaults of, I'm the center of the universe. I would like to posit for you the first capital T truth for today. You have the capacity. That peace of God that's been breathed deep inside of you, it's a gift from God that's been buried deep inside of you at conception to make the type of choices that are needed and necessary to overcome the self-centered default settings which compete with the imprint of God on you. But you must choose. It's a Native American story, Cherokee Indian story of a grandfather and a grandson are talking about the meaning of life. And the grandfather is sharing with his grandson what life is all about. That he says, it is a terrible fight going on inside of you between two wolves. One is evil. He is anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, superiority, lies, inferiority, superiority, and ego. The other wolf is good. He is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy. You get the idea. The same fight is going on inside of you. It's going on inside of all of us. And you must decide which wolf is going to win. And the grandson looks up and says, Grandfather, which wolf will win? And his answer is, the one you feed. The one you feed. You must choose to be awake in your own natural default setting. What is it that you're choosing? And you must manage your life in a way that are alert to the default settings that are causing you to respond to the world, whether it's to the world's values or the values found in this power source. Sadly, so many of us just drift through life, already dead, long before death eventually claims us. Why? Why are we dead? Because we allow that flawed default setting to be the setting that runs for us. There's a movie of about 25 years ago, Billy Crystal, called City Slickers. And I'm going to clean up the commentary a little bit here, but there's an actor in there that was Jack Palance. Thank you. Jack Palance, and he won an Academy Award for the role, and he plays Curly, and he's discussing with Billy Crystal the meaning of life. And Curly says, do you know what the secret of life is? And he holds up one finger, this. And Mitch doesn't get it. Billy Crystal doesn't get it. And he says, your finger? Curly says, no, one thing, just one thing. You stick to that, and the rest don't mean squat. And in the movie, he doesn't say squat. And then Mitch says, but sure, that's great. What's the one thing? And Curly says, that's what you have to find out. That's what you have to find out. Curly is advocating making the choice to find out the thing that where your deep gladness is activated. And it leads you to waking up, being alert, and making the choice that reveals to you your inner secret for life. Pastor Frederick Buechner proposits to us that God is calling us. God is inviting us. God is wooing us. God is constantly offering to us that we should be in pursuit of the place where God has called us. He writes, "The place God calls you is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet." Let me say that again. The place God calls you is to the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. So how do you choose? How do you choose? Wisely, I would hope. Which wolf do you feed? The world beckons and invites you to choose things like money, beauty, power. David Foster Wallace, in his essay, This Is Water, basically says that whatever you choose of the world's values, you're going to feel diminished because you don't have enough of that. Physical beauty, strength, power, money, whatever it is, you just won't have enough. Nobel laureate Bob Dylan, that we used in our poetry today, says you're going to have to serve somebody. You're going to have to make the choice. You're going to have to serve somebody, which is another way of saying you're going to have to worship somebody or something. I would like to posit for you the second capital T truth for today. When you have lived your entire life and you stand before a body like this in your 70th year, sharing with young people sort of the life's lessons, young people whose parents haven't been born yet, that what life's lessons are all about. My guess is you're going to offer to them the ideas of where your happiness, your gladness in serving the world had this intersection with the world's greatest needs. That's where you will end up. I would suggest to you that even though it's a mixed metaphor, listen to that inner light. Listen to that inner light that takes you back to this, takes you back to this place. The scripture we read today, I think, offers us wisdom and insight. I want to offer you two ideas. I could have preached an hour sermon on this particular passage. I want to take two ideas here for us. One is to test the spirits, and the other one is about that which is in you is greater than that which is in the world. Testing the spirits is critically important. You must test the world when the world comes to talk to you. And when the world comes to talk to you and offers you choices about what it is you need to choose and how it is you need to choose, if those choices cannot be filtered through the life of Jesus, as you can see Jesus' life lived out through our study and understanding and wisdom of who Jesus is, then it probably is offering you the world's choices, the evil wolf, rather than the good wolf. But the choice is yours, and it's going to be easy for you to do that. We're going to go through life making those choices, and it's this opportunity that the world is going to steer us towards the bad choices. You instead are invited to make the good choices in the world. The second one is that which is in you is greater than that which is in the world. We talked about it on Nora's baptism. We talked about the fact that there is a piece of God inside of her. There's a piece of God inside of all of you, inside of all of you that is there. And you need to understand that that piece of God makes you greater than those things which are in the world. That which is in you is greater than that which is in the world. You have this opportunity to make the choice. Which one are you going to choose? The one that leads to anger and envy and jealousy, or the one that leads to beauty and to service to others? David Foster Wallace, in that same essay I mentioned to you, mentions that it's the fact this is water. He mentions about the fact that these values are just insidious. They just creep in and they just become the dominant force in your life if you're not careful. You must make these good choices. Remember my story about the Cherokee grandfather, where he suggests that you must figure out which wolf you're going to feed. Which wolf are you going to feed? You remember the Billy Crystal story. You have to make one choice. You have to figure out this one thing. What's the one thing you're going to figure out? Buechner makes the same point, that you must figure out where it is that your great passion has this intersection with the world's needs. What are your passions and what are the world's needs? Where do you go with that? Remember the Dylan, Nobel laureate Dylan, Bob Dylan, where he says to us, everybody's going to have to serve someone. Who are you going to serve? Who are you going to serve? Remember back to my Subaru story. My car defaulted back to its default settings. It went back to its default settings because it had been detached from its power source. Fortunately, my car, running for 30 minutes or so, will return it back to a good place. But when you get detached from your power source, when you get detached from this book, when you get detached from God, when you get detached from the community of God, you lose your way. You lose your way and just slowly, insidiously, drop by drop, element by element, you become part of the world with the world's values. Test the spirits. Test the spirits as to how they speak and what they say to you. And remember, that which is in you, that which is in you is greater than that which is in the world. Let us pray. Gracious God, let us be people that remember that that which is in us is greater in the world than in the world, and we are called to make a difference in your world. Let's find a place where that intersection of our passion and the world's needs can find a place for us to serve. And all of God's children say, Amen.
Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.